Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes. You can email Christy and I and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Foster the Podcast, episode 190. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Michael Malone is my co-host again today.
Hello, good sir.
The end. Michael Malone was my co-host for October, and dude, I've had so much fun. I'm gonna miss you.
I have too. And what the fuck is going on with your face? it's a little terrifying.
Let's introduce our guest. Samantha Hale.
Great segue. It's terrifying.
Just in case you want to also make fun of me, I want the listeners to be like, who else is making fun of Justin?
Who else is shitting on
Justin? I shaved my face. I always wear a beard, and I shaved it completely for two reasons. One, for Halloween, and two, I have to officiate a wedding in a couple of days.
It's some 13-year-olds getting married? Like, why?
I thought I'd clean it up a little bit.
I thought I rented a van, got some Halloween candy.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's super weird.
I hate it.
You know the cats that don't have any hair?
What are they called? I know they're Chinese crescents.
Now they're called Fosters.
The foster cats.
Foster cats.
I know, man. It's I did it, and I have to do it with a razor for Halloween.
What are you in jail? Why are you doing this?
I have to do it with a bar of soap that I've whittled down. So I thought if I just took it down to like stubble, then Saturday won't be as jarring. To myself and to my loved ones. I want to grow it immediately back as soon as the wedding's over.
You thought about maybe wearing like a fake beard.
Like a merkin?
Yeah.
You're talking about a merkin.
Oh, yeah, you're a merkin, right?
A merkin. I know. So I'm officiating some really good friends of mine at the wedding, and this week, actually.
Did you get the thing written?
I started it this morning.
No.
Justin. Dude, it's really good.
You have a three-piece dress with octopus eel like hands attached to it, but you don't have this thing written. You've worked on.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. This procrastination that comics have, where it's like, I'll do it, I'll get around to it, and you realize like, oh shit, I have to do this now. And so I sat down this morning and I started writing, and it's really good. It's very funny.
Yeah, I'll read it for you.
Will you?
Tomorrow.
Will you proofread it? Will you read it after the wedding?
Yeah, I will. Is this some sort of a hairless wedding? Is that what's happening? Where you get like a bald cat as a present when you
So
walk
here's what
off?
I did. So I trimmed
These
it up.
These people aren't Persian, right?
So I trimmed it up nice. I'm clean shaven. I'm very respectable. I look at my buddy Michael's Facebook page, the groom. He's grown the biggest beard that I've ever seen for the wedding. He looks like ZZ Top.
Oh,
I'm like, God damn it.
That's kind of hot. I may have a little bit of a beard fetish.
Oh, do you?
Do you like the big lumberjack beardy, or do you like the well-kept?
Well, if it's clean, the lumberjack is cool. I don't know. See, I think I used to have like, I have a massive crush on Rob Zombie. I'm not going to lie. Like,
oh,
and
wow.
I used to think that like the bigger the beard, the more talented the musician. You know, like Rob Zombie or ZZ Top or Melissa Etheridge.
John Mayer,
you know.
Right.
Do you Melissa Etheridge?
You know. I love Rob Zombie. I fucking love him.
Did you, you went solid, what? That's not Michael's type of music at all.
No. Are you more of like a ballet theater kind of a person?
He loves John Mayer, Jason
Mraz. Oh my
Mraz.
God, no.
Speaking of beards. he loves all that. Like, If Rob Zombie had like an acoustic guitar and was playing at like coffee shops,
album, oh, I would buy
my
that.
God.
Yes, Rob Zombie live and unplugged from Starbucks.
I like the sad shit.
Rob Zombie, Solana Beach. Yeah, that's what it is. Exactly. No. I went out on a date once at the Comedy Store, and this guy was so boring. And John Mayer actually happened to randomly show up. So right. I was like, this date is so bad. I think I'm going to go hit on John Mayer.
Right.
Like, I know he's going to smell like Taylor Swift, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Was it your date destination or was it his?
It was kind of like I don't know if I'm going to like this guy or not. I'm already doing a show. I need an ass and a seat to come
you're
see
doing,
it.
I
was doing a bringer date. I'm sorry. I did it. I did it.
That's so great.
Well, you know.
Dating to get stage time.
No.
I've got 5 dates here. Can I do 10 minutes?
I hate you, but I'm not going to disagree. No, that was a while ago, you know.
That's a great marketing tip. You just get on Tinder and just keep swiping.
I'm at
Flappers.
Do it.
Meet me there at 7.
7:30. 2 out of minimum.
I have a 2-drink minimum.
I'm a terrible person. Terrible person.
That's why they say no comics on Tinder and right.
A lot
of girls.
Oh, full on.
Yeah, that's because.
Oh, full on.
They're sick of getting duped into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
I had a guy message me. He was like, hi, nice to meet you. Did it. Full disclosure, I dated a comic and it wasn't good.
No!
I'm like, why are you telling me? Spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, then go away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Spoiler, I've seen better.
Basically.
You guys aren't as fun in real life. No, we're very sad.
A little bit.
I think you're looking for a clown, sir. You want to date? You want to date a clown, not a comic.
Pennywise is available.
I went and saw arguably probably the greatest band ever. I went and saw Jimmy Eat World the other night.
Oh, nice. I think we have a disagreement.
Yeah, Mike doesn't. He doesn't. They, you know, he doesn't know. But
Daddy and Daddy stop fighting.
There was a guy in front of me who had a T-shirt on that said "Return of the Dreads Tour" and it was Korn and Rob Zombie.
I totally went to that.
No.
I remember looking at this guy's shirt and be like, "I would rather die."
It was so fun. I did not fit in there though, you guys. Like, I showered
really?
And like I have a haircut.
Yeah, right.
Like, my angular bob did not work at that Dread Tour, but it was a good show.
The white dudes with Dread Tour. Is
yeah,
the
that's what it was.
Fucking hilarious.
It was
marketing.
I have all this money, but I'm still angry.
Right,
tour.
Right. I can't shower in my mansion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You posted a video. I remember you posted a video of the Rob Zombie concert
I sure
on
did.
Facebook. And it was really cool because Rob Zombie like runs out into the crowd and he's like standing right. on the seats.
Yeah.
But I remember you got like people were like giving you shit for having the video for taking video at a concert.
They sure were.
And I don't understand that.
And I was like, I will have this moment. Basically, Rob, so he like came out into the crowd, and then I was like, oh, cool, Rob Zombie's in the crowd. And then all of a sudden, he came to my row, and then he got in the middle of my row and stood on top of my seat and started singing from my seat. So he was like on top of me.
Oh,
and
what?
And I, you know, I can multitask. I took out my camera and just kind of hoped for the best and looked very closely at his
right,
package.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, this guy was like, man, be in the moment. I'm like, well, in that moment, I had my phone in my hand, so fuck off.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in this moment, I want to capture, you know, Rob Zombie standing with his crotch in my face.
Totally.
Yeah.
Can I shatter some dreams for you? Here?
Oh, no. You're going to tell me he's a bad person?
No, I'm going to tell you that. So I went to see the Counting Crows.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the
they have dreads.
That counts.
Speaking of Dread Tour.
That counts.
They were the opening act for Rob Zombie.
Rob Thomas opened for him, which...
Matchbox 20, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he came out in the crowd and did the same thing. He put his crotch in my face.
Oh, yeah?
Did he really?
But no, he went out in the crowd and was like, you know, standing on chairs and like, you know, messing with people and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was like... It was really
but
weird.
Like, they did it by like soft candlelight and they right, made sure yeah. it was okay first. Yeah, exactly. And how were you feeling?
It was at a coffee bean.
It was a coffee bean, exactly.
He really just got his latte in front
exactly.
of Mike.
See, the thing about Counting Crows is I can't listen to them anymore because okay, so I used to go to this place in Hollywood called the Piano Bar. And,
yeah.
Have you been there? It's a great little like local
it's a
music
great
venue.
Venue. Yeah.
And one of the guys who's in the Counting Crows used to play there all the time with my friend, Brother Sal is his name. And one day we were all talking after and I had just gotten this new tattoo. It's this phoenix in my arm, but it wasn't finished and there was one little part that just kind of looked like this, like kind of a pink... kind of a roundish triangle thing. And he's just looking at it and he was like, is that a clit on your arm?
Oh, wow.
He asked me if I had a clit in my Phoenix. And so now whenever I think of Counting Crows, I think of clit. So it's ruined for me. I can no longer count them.
I have a problem finding a clit, but on the arm.
Right, right.
I never
Not Counting Crows, apparently. They know exactly where it is.
But let me tell you, I went to like a tattoo place the next day and had him fix it. I was like, can you put some color in that?
Can you fix my clit?
Can you fix my clit? Can you fix my clit, Bird?
The bass player, Counting Crows, doesn't like it.
That's what happened. That's completely true.
That's awesome.
Thank you, David Immergluck. That's his name. Yeah, I'll call you out and your clit.
There's a video of me, the very last night I drank ever, there's a video of me hammered singing A Long December by the Counting Crows.
Oh, my God.
That exists somewhere in the world. I'll find it and I'll try to post it somewhere.
One of the greatest songs ever written.
That
it really is.
I mean, I don't know.
It really is. And we don't agree on music ever.
Right, ever.
That is probably one of the greatest songs ever written.
It's a beautiful song.
But so, like, so Rob Zombie, or what's his name from Matchbox 20?
Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas. Him going in the crowd makes sense, right? Because no one's like, what's the worst that's going
to
happen?
Well, I mean, there can't be too many people to get through.
Right, right, exactly, right, right. Rob.
All 10 of us were very excited. Right.
Rob Zombie, and I saw with 30 Seconds to Mars, Jared Leto do that.
Oh, like, cool.
That's very dangerous. If you're Jared Leto running into the, that's very not smart. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Girls were like,
freaking out.
Yeah, you know, yeah. girl fans are, yeah, that's not.
They're nuts. All those My So-Called Life fans, right. They're now in their 40s. They right. are vicious.
Right. Yeah, postpartum depression. Like, they're all
they are not
fucked
afraid
up.
To hit a bitch.
Right. Yeah, they're all a little fucked up. You know what? I opened for a band the other night. I did comedy at this bar in Simi Valley, and it was going good. And I decided to go off script as I do sometimes. And
you crowd
yeah,
work?
I know. I tried something different.
I've never seen you
know,
go into the crowd.
Malone gives me shit. I feature for Malone all the time. And sometimes we'll do shows and I'll be like, hey, how long do you think I can get without telling a single joke? And I'll start and I'll be like, just go up there and do your and I'm like, nope. And I'll start the stopwatch and I'll be like, 12 minutes, Michael.
This dude brought a fake dog on stage one night in Texas. Somebody had a stuffed animal in the audience. Next thing I know, I'm in the green room, I come back out. Justin's got this dog on stage. He's petting it halfway through his show.
Some lady just came to the show with a stuffed animal dog, and I was like, no, well, that's coming up with me. Yeah. And I put it on the stool and it sat there the entire set.
Oh, like a mascot.
So I was doing this show the other night, and there was a band. It was like, you know, like 18, 19, 20-year-old white kids, right. you know, whatever. And I was like, I'm excited to see you guys, man. You guys are next. And they're like, yeah. I was like, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see you. And they were like, yeah, fuck yeah, man. I go, what kind of music do you guys play? And they were like, we like reggae, funk. And I was like, oh, never mind. And they stonewalled me for the rest of the set. Because I forget you can't fuck around with 18 and 19-year-olds anymore. No. They have no sense of humor.
No, their lives are very serious.
Yeah.
They go through a lot. You don't know what they go through. Right? Okay. Yeah.
Could you imagine? You played Sublime songs. Have a little sense of humor.
Right? Right?
I don't know how, but when you were 19 and 20, like you could, like, we busted each other's balls.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We came
from a ball-busting generation.
Yeah.
There is none of that. It is gone now.
Is it changed completely?
No, it's changed completely because everybody is
but
coddled.
Yeah,
I don't know. Everybody's a winner. There are no losers anymore. Nobody's losing. You can be whatever you want.
That's because kids these days, their parents are like, now, Timmy, how do you feel about this?
Exactly.
What would you like to do? Use your words.
Exactly.
Shut up.
Didn't they? We got rid of, like, somebody was saying we got rid of, like, trophies and like point system, like
that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
right.
Everybody's a winner. You get a participation. If you have participated, then you are good to go. Thank you for
right.
coming out.
Right.
You're the winner.
There
is no competition anymore. There is no. God, people want to work together. It's gross.
I don't know about you guys. I don't want to put my mom on blast, but like, did you guys like?
Yes, you
she
do.
She had a paddle. And it was hanging in
right,
the kitchen,
yeah.
And if you fucked up, you would go get the paddle, and you would have to bring the device to her. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, that's horrible.
But I learned not to fuck up.
That's true.
You know, it wasn't like if I got like if I was like tardy to school. It was like, you know, when I deserve the like. You knew why you were getting the paddle.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It was like, why is this happening? Like, oh yeah, no, I deserve.
My grandma was that in the household. She had the yardstick.
Oh, and you had to go pick your own.
Oh yeah, she'd bring it to you. Oh. You know why I got this, don't you?
Oh no. But you learn. I feel like you. I don't. And I want to sound like the old guy. Like back in my day, we were a little tougher.
Back in my day, we got whoopings.
Right. When like no one gets told no.
Yeah, there are no. Yeah.
No.
you know, it's terrible. I see that in like comics too, like a lot. Like you try to ball bust with comics, that's not really.
Oh man!
Like a lot of Midwest comics and comics from the South, like they can take a good ball. Like a lot of like. And I don't want to call anybody out, but there's a lot of people I hear that are like, you can't fuck around with them like
that. Oh, no, yeah. My buddy just did a college, and they put him in the cafeteria in the middle of the day, right?
Sure.
Just like the worst fucking gig. And he was trying to get the crowd like involved, like to kind of wake him up, get him on his side. So there's this group full of cheerleaders up front. And
oh, no.
So he's looking for somebody to bring on stage. He goes, hey, why don't you come up here and join me? And he taps her on her arm, like so she like turn around and look at him.
Uh-huh.
He's like, hey, why don't you come up here and join me? She goes, oh, my God, do not touch me.
Oh.
And he goes, oh, come on. Da, right. da, da. And she's like, I'm serious. And he goes, okay. And he started doing the thing where he's like, I'm not touching you. Doing that, right? And then, you know, moved on or whatever. He got a letter written to his agent talking about she was taking therapy because she had told an aggressive man that not to touch her in public and that, like, she felt uncomfortable.
So she'd met him before.
And that man was Donald Trump. No, like all the things. And he had to his agent had to like put in his, like,
that's
give
ridiculous.
Him a stern talking and be like, hey, just don't touch any college.
Don't touch the kids.
He's like, oh my God. Like all I did was
that's
try
absurd.
To get you involved. Yeah, and she said that. Yeah, she had to take therapy and all the stuff, and unwanted touching, and all,
come
and like,
on.
And public shame, all this other stuff.
Public shame.
He's like, what the fuck, dude. Like. That's wow. That's what we're dealing with. That's what
it's like. I didn't even get to my opener.
Right.
What the hell?
Right. Exactly.
Oh my God.
My closer. I just come on you.
Yeah. You want to see public shame, huh?
Wait till the headliner. We call him Bukkake.
All right, yeah.
He comes back to that college. She's got like an emotional support animal. Right. And
oh no, like a shivering chihuahua yeah. that needs support itself.
Right. A hairless cat.
A foster.
Foster.
Speaking of unwanted touching. Samantha, do you travel a lot? What's the weirdest thing that you've opened for?
Oh my God, the weirdest thing I've opened for. I don't know. Well, I mean, I think I do. I've kind of become the token straight girl in the drag queen community.
That's right.
Like, I think
awesome.
That's kind of.
We've talked about your shows on this show. So all of our listeners, when I talk about my performance at Gay Bar, Samantha is, I forgot. Yeah, you're the madam of.
I kind of am the madam of I wouldn't say gay comedy, but drag show
fun.
Comedy.
Yeah.
A little
oh
bit.
God.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
If you guys, comics listen, if you guys want to get booked on shows, email Samantha.
Fantastic. My email is justin@.
No.
MaloneComedy.com.
MaloneComedy.com.
Any show you guys want. So yeah, how did you get involved with that?
You know, I was working on a documentary years ago, and I interviewed a drag queen on how she chooses her music for the show, and we just kind of, it's Morgan McMichaels, is now one of my best friends. We just met and hit it off. We had the same dark, kind of messed up sense of humor, and we're just, you know, going after each other. That's what we do. We just pick on each other.
Right.
Which
Thank
is great.
You.
Which works for comedy, for sure. Oh, they make me so much stronger. Because it's just like, zing, 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 zing. You have to keep up with these girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is like, everything that they go through to do what they do in their life, they have to have a thick skin and a sense of humor about it. And
right,
they're so
right,
quick and so smart. Some of the smartest people I've ever met. But anyway, so we just became really good friends, and I met everybody, a lot of other queens in Los Angeles through Morgan. And then I wound up getting a show at Mickey's in West Hollywood. So I now work with them. I now work
That's
in
awesome.
A gay bar, which is amazing.
It's such a great show too. It's one of those shows where you just like, look, I remember the one time I did it was what, RuPaul's drag show was right after me.
Yeah.
And I just looked and there's just a sea of drag queens. And I'm standing on this almost like a stripper stage.
Oh, we have a runway.
Yeah, a runway with a disco ball. And I was like, I love
awesome.
My life right now.
Oh,
this
completely.
Is amazing. They're shirtless dudes just bartending.
Oh, yeah. They're beautiful.
It was awesome.
It's so much fun. I mean, my life is I hang out with all comics and drag queens, which means my makeup's on point, my jokes are funny, and I'm gonna die alone, which is totally fine. And like, I'm cool with it. I've made peace with it.
It's such a fun show, and it's such a great crowd too, because they're all very supportive, and I find like those shows, like you can be dark and you can be fucked up and you can say, because you can't be PC if you're a dude who just shaved your legs.
No.
You know what I mean? You have to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, I mean, half the times, like, Morgan will say something terribly just fucked up, and it's so funny, and that one person who's like, I'm offended, he's like, you know what? My dick is up my own ass right now. Shut up. I'll say what I want. Like, eat me. You know, which is so great. It's so much fun. And yeah, and it's kind of like, for me, I'm an only child, so now I feel like I have a big brother and a big sister.
Just the same person.
The same person. But let me tell you, they are fierce, because like one day my ex-boyfriend actually showed up at Mickey's unannounced. Showed up.
Really?
And yeah, and Morgan caught wind of it. And let me tell you, he marched. I say him because he's
sure.
Like I see him as a boy, but when it's in drag, you say she. When it's, you know, anyway. But anyway, so he marched his ass up right up to my ex-boyfriend, full like huge like dress, like cunty hair, like makeup, just fully painted. Right? Right, walks right up to him and says, "Oh, hi. I've heard a lot about you. Question for you: why would you ever let anyone as amazing as her walk out of your life?"
Oh,
and
wow.
Just glares at him like the ultimate death glare, and he shut up so fast. And it was just like, finally, a man stands up for me, and he's wearing a double D silicone breastplate. That's great.
Because that's the worst. You never want to get your ass kicked by a dude wearing pumps.
Right. Oh no! And he's from Scotland too, so he would have murdered him.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Murdered.
So your ex just came to see your show?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Isn't it weird?
Were you guys friendly?
We had our issue. It's been a couple years, so like we're okay now. Like we talk. I may have been drunk and had sex with him like a year ago, and you know, I think he just wanted more.
Okay, I was envisioning that you guys just broken up.
Oh no, it's been a while.
Okay, all right, and he shows up to and just sits right up front. And,
can you imagine?
Go ahead, speak. Like, oh fuck.
Can you imagine?
No, I think it would be pretty bad.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything worse.
If you had to put the worst person in the front row, who would it be? Like, for you personally. Who, like, if you were to come out on stage and see who's in the front row and you're like, be like, oh fuck.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a great question. Right? I don't know, because if it were any of my exes, I'd be like, game on, motherfucker. Let's do this. So who would I not want there?
Probably my girlfriend. No, I'm just kidding.
It depends. It's a Tinder bringer show.
Right. I know. Honestly, probably the girl from the college that I touched inappropriately.
Oh, my God. Oh,
see,
so
you shave the beard, you get even creepier.
Oh, my God. So I would have to say the guy who touched me inappropriately in college, probably. Right. No,
Things got real dark.
No, they sure did. I don't know. I mean, I guess right now the person... If Donald Trump were in the front row, I'd go to jail for murder. So it's probably good that he wouldn't show up. But I don't know. Like, on a personal level, I don't know.
What about you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I was pretty embarrassed when my grandfather came to see me in my first year of comedy. Yeah. He's passed away, but he was, at the time, you know, he was older and he was...
He didn't get your YOLO jokes?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like my first year, and it was me and like Joey Coco Diaz. And yeah, it's like, you don't want to see, you know, even before grandfather was like, so this is what you're doing now, huh?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So
I think for me, it'd be like, it'd be like a fellow comic that I look up to, like a Bill Burr or something.
Oh, that's true.
If you just come out on stage and Jim Jefferies is like in your front row.
Yeah, that would be rough.
Yeah.
Well, hey. All this is shit.
Yeah.
This is garbage.
That would be rough.
Yeah, I think that's the best answer.
All right.
Yeah, you look down on one of your peers.
You look up to.
Yeah.
Like,
but I think you're onto something with the grandpa thing, because I just remembered my grandpa's never seen me perform.
Uh-huh.
And he's like this very stoic war vet, kind of a quiet kind of a guy. And I see him once every maybe couple years. And every time I see him, he's like, so, comedy, huh? I just didn't see you doing that.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Like, okay, grandpa, thanks.
But I also hang out with drag queens. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay. It's fine.
Remember, you performed in front of Dave Grohl. Remember that night?
That was so much fun.
How crazy.
That was intense. That was so fun. Were you there then?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So he was like out in the lobby and everyone's freaking out. And I'm like, why is everyone having a meltdown?
Right.
It's because Dave Grohl was out there. And then he comes in and sits in the front row with his entire family. And I'm like, what the hell? Why are you in Burbank on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock?
Yeah, at 10 o'clock.
What are you doing, dude? But so I was like, should I mess with him? And nobody said anything to him at that point. So I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I realized I had a joke where the punchline literally was drummer.
Oh, yeah.
So I did it, and he stood up and took a bow. He was so cool about it.
Yeah, that crazy.
Awesome.
It was so. But then I thought, I have a joke about Courtney killed Kurt, but I couldn't remember where he stood on the situation. So I was like, I don't know if I should do my Courtney killed Kurt joke. Yes. But then I was like, wait a minute, that's not a joke. And it turns out that he hates her. So I was like, I should have done it.
Yeah.
Should have done it.
But see, that would have been the thing that you do. And it's just like, he just fucking closes out and just like leaves.
Can you imagine that would have scarred
me
for
Dave
life?
Grohl?
I walked a Foo Fighter. No. I
fought a Foo Fighter and I lost.
I remember that night because I was at the bar with my buddy and I think I was doing like the Yoohoo room or something stupid.
Right. Dave Grohl and you have multiple orgasms. What happens?
So my buddy goes, oh, dude, that dude in the corner, it's Dave Navarro. And I was like, because he doesn't know anything about it. I go, oh, dude, I love Jane's Addiction. And I turn around and I go, that is definitely not Dave Navarro. That's Dave Grohl.
That's the other Dave.
Oh, yeah, same thing. Like, no. Oh.
Not the same thing.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Speaking of your family, you have celebrities in your family. I just recently knew that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just recently found that out, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
Your father is?
Well, my grandpa.
Your grandpa?
Was on the original Lost.
The original Lost?
Yeah, in 1964 when it was called Gilligan's Island. Yeah. Yeah, he was the skipper.
My dad's dad.
And the funny thing is, whenever I tell people that, when I just meet them, they're like, oh my God, I see it. You look just like him. And I was like, excuse me, really? Like the fat guy from Gilligan's Island?
Like, is it the captain's hat?
Right?
Is that what gives it away?
The scarf I wear on my neck?
I know. It's like, thanks, little buddy. Go fuck yourself.
So your grandfather was the skipper?
Yeah.
No, is this the one you were saying that it's never seen you perform?
No. This is the other one. My grandpa, Alan Hale, was his name. He passed in 1990.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was seven and was about 7 years into comedy at that point.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Do you talk about it on stage at all?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, a little bit. I do. And actually, my very first show that I ever did at the Comedy Union, which was my very first show ever, Don Wells came and sat in the front row, who's Marianne.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that cool?
That is cool.
Yeah, so that made me nervous, speaking of someone
right,
in the front.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
That made me nervous, right. For sure. But I was like, it's my first time. She has no expectations. It's cool.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. How exciting.
Like, you just got off the island. You came here to see me. So honored.
That's hilarious.
That's what kept him going the entire time.
I got a show at the Comedy Union.
She's like, I have to go right back after. It's a CBS clause. They actually shot right up the street from where we are at CBS Radford. They shot, the whole lagoon was back there.
Wait a minute.
And now, unfortunately, it's a parking
really
lot.
On an island.
Well, oh my gosh.
Oh no.
I mean,
you just
ruined
Michael's childhood.
Just for the close-ups, I mean. Yeah. No, they shot the pilot in Hawaii, from what I understand. And it was in black and white, which is cool.
Dude, that's so awesome. Do you have I'm sure you have like cool like memorabilia and stuff.
Yeah, because that's when people were like, that's when it like meant something to be famous.
Yeah. 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 Not very like old Hollywood. And his dad, so my great grandfather, was like Errol Flynn's sidekick, which is kind of cool. So he was like in the original Robin Hood, he was Little John. And he was in all like the Seahawk and
dude, how cool
is that? Isn't that cool?
What is going on?
Yeah, I know. I ask myself that
all
every
the fame.
Day. I know.
Not one of my family members is famous.
I know. Well, hold on. Let me say something else.
She's like, do you know Tupac?
It's my uncle.
My uncle Tupac.
I found him. He's not dead. No, but my great-grandfather met my great-grandmother, who was an actress on a silent film back in the 30s.
So whatever. You're like old school Hollywood
right
here.
Yeah, very old Hollywood.
Any comics, if you guys want to get on TV and movies, email Samantha Hale.
No, man, everyone's like dead or retired. I'm shit out of luck.
Yeah, isn't that the worst?
Yeah, and people are always like, ooh, residuals. I'm like, yeah, that happened in the 70s.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Gilligan's Island is in the 60s, so just sit right back and hear a tale of how I don't have any fucking money.
Yeah, no shit.
You never stood a chance.
Nope.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool, though, that you're kind of following in their foot and you're in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Do you travel?
I do. I've been starting to work the road a bit more,
what
which
do you
is
think?
Amazing. Huh?
You like it?
I love it. I love getting out of LA.
Yeah.
I mean, I was born and raised here, so I need a break.
Yeah.
You know, I've done my dues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, nice.
Which was so much fun. I love it out there. I really had a great time in Louisville, and I'll tell you why. Because you know what? I got hit on more in 2 days in Louisville than 2 years in Los Angeles. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, apparently in Louisville, I'm a Malibu Barbie.
Yeah.
In Malibu, I'm a Cabbage Patch Kid, which is great.
Yeah.
But I loved it there. I had so much fun.
Yeah, whenever I go back to the Midwest, they're always like, you need to eat. Like, you need to just, yeah. you are wasting away.
Isn't
and I come
a
back
great
to LA
feeling?
And people are like, ugh, what are you doing?
Ew, you fat ass.
Do some of your stuff. And you're like, no. Oh,
I know. And every time I go back to the South, people are like, do they feed you out there?
Right, yeah. And yeah. you're like, it's such a different mindset.
Yeah, though. And here they're like, ooh, can they stop feeding you?
Right, here? Yeah. Like,
yeah. Wait a minute, you eat solid foods? Oh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're branching out. You're leaving LA. You're hitting the road. What was the first time? What was your first show like outside of Los Angeles, and not like like Bakersfield or like what was your first like road experience?
I was literally just gonna talk about Bakersfield.
That's what like, every comic that starts in LA is like. I'm doing the road. I'm going out to Bakersfield.
No, I was gonna. I have a joke about it. I say I've never done meth, but I have been to Bakersfield. No, but the true story. I was out there.
I've never done comedy in Bakersfield, but I have bought meth. So.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. No, it was not good. I went out there. Do you know Jessica Michelle Singleton?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, we went out there. This was years ago, and we got there a couple hours early. So we're like, oh, let's find something to do to kill some time. So I took out my phone and I Googled Bakersfield tourist attraction,
uh-huh.
and Google said no. And that was that. But I think my first does San Diego count? I think that was my first out of LA show.
We'll allow it. Yeah, we'll allow it.
Oh, thanks.
The points. Two old road dogs.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. How many miles is that?
It's not a road gig if you drive back and forth after each show. This motherfucker had a weekend in San Diego and went back and forth every single show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it is. Because his condo didn't have Wi-Fi.
Look, it was more than that.
I would have slept at a Starbucks.
Well, it was sold out because Jason Mraz was performing. So he couldn't get Two shows.
No, I had an Airbnb fall through on me, so I had to just like... They had no Wi-Fi, no air conditioning.
Because that's a drive. Like, on the way down, there's so much traffic.
It took me 5.5 hours to get there one day. It was the worst.
Yeah, forget that.
What is your hour limit on a road gig where you won't fly?
Oh, man.
Because we've driven to Arizona before. That's
yeah,
a haul.
Yeah, that's like 6 hours.
That's like 6.
And we'll
like
do the show. Yeah. But yeah, you do the show and you leave at midnight. You know, that's kind of...
I think 8 hours.
You think 8 you'll fly?
Yeah. I think if within 6 to 8 hours, I'll drive it still.
Yeah.
If it's like a fun play, if I can know that I can stay longer or like if I can do other stuff while I'm there, I'm not just going to go 7 hours for like, it's Friday, Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck that. But, you know, if it's worth it or if it's somewhere nice where I can spend a few days and.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about comedy, too, is that you go to a place, not like Bakersfield, but like if you do, like I'm sure when you were in Louisville, could you, you know, you're there and you do the shows, but then you have the day to explore.
Yeah, it was
like,
fun.
See stuff.
And that, did you play the, which one did you play there?
Oh my God, the Laughing Derby.
Yeah, the Derby there. That it's right on the Great Strip there with all that.
Oh, there's
food
so much to do there.
Oh,
subways, they got a lot of subways there.
There's at least 3 subways.
Yeah, and actually, there is a, back to the drag thing, there is a huge drag bar right up the street.
Oh, really?
Play, which is so much fun. It's this massive place, and my friend works there, so I just went and hung out there.
That's awesome.
And actually, true story, I got propositioned for a threesome when I was there in the gay bar. By
really?
A gay man, this gay guy comes up to me and he's super cute. And he comes up, he's like, hey, oh my God, you're so pretty. I love your hair. I'm like, thank you. It's really nice. He's like, listen, it's my best friend's birthday. He's super hot. He's super straight and he loves women. So I thought, oh my God, what a good friend am I? I'm going to buy him and his girlfriend a third. And then just looks me up and down. And I was like, excuse me, hold on. I'm a comic, not a prostitute.
Right. No. But how much?
Of course I'll do it. Exactly. I was like, of course I'll do it. I need the money. So that happened,
really?
Which was fun.
Did you think about it for a second?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what does he look like? Yeah.
What does she look like?
What does she look like? Do I have to touch her vagina?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I can do
Who
that.
Who books that?
Yeah. That would be Justin at...
No. That's crazy.
No, that's a weird random road shit that happens.
Totally. Well, yeah. Actually, just remember, I think actually my very first road gig was San Francisco. Now that I remember it, and
yeah,
it
we'll
was,
allow it.
We'll go.
Yeah,
we'll
that,
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
we'll it's like 9 hours.
I love it. I have to like check in with the higher authorities.
Yeah, we'll allow.
Okay,
the guys in their 40s. No, no,
I'm growing the beard back.
No, shit, that came out wrong. I like older men. But yeah, so I drove up there. I was hired. They're fist bumping right now. I just want everybody to know. You thought I wasn't going to call that up. I do like being in a room full of 3 men, and it's just me. I like my odds in here.
Well, it's my buddy's birthday. I figure.
He's super straight.
Wait, so he's not here?
He's going to be wearing that dress later.
He's going to be wearing the Halloween dress.
The Halloween dress.
Oh, man. No, it was a gig. It was a fundraiser for Women in Music, and they hired me to host it and introduce each band. And I thought, okay, easy enough. But I was like a year and a half into comedy. Mm-hmm, so right. I did, I think, 20 minutes up front, which when you're a year and a half in, you're like pulling for 20
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't realize what a bad decision that was that I made, but whatever, there was a paycheck. So I went and it actually went pretty well. And then at the end of it, the booker comes up to me and he's like, hey, so I didn't realize that the closing band has like a massive setup. So do you want to go do like another half hour?
I was
What? I had to gently explain to him that that's not how comedy works.
Yeah,
but
right.
So he wanted me to get up in front of a band while they're striking the set and moving drums and testing things. And I was like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. That was my first year and a half of comedy.
Yeah.
I did. I was in bands. And so when I first started comedy, it was like the natural progression of all my friends that were bands were like, right, well, just come open for us. And it was like, you know, with stage time, it was like,
you're like, why do you hate me?
Yeah, yeah. Right. It was this untapped market where like no comic was, I was like, oh, I'd get this. Cause you know, you go to an open mic and you wait for 2 hours to do three minutes or you do 15 minutes in front of this band. But it was literally like, I'd be like, yeah, so anyway. And then you hear the guy in the back go, all right, check the snare.
Oh my God.
You know, but
Fuck that.
Yeah. And then you like right to your punchline and the sound guy is like, all right, let's hear bass guitar.
Dude, I did this little theater in Michigan, and there's like this private event. This community holds it. They own like this community theater there, and they hold like a once a year event from the beginning of a comic, right? So I do it and do my hour or whatever. Good night. I come backstage, and the woman comes back, and she goes, so before we start again, I just want to know, do you need any like water thing? I was like, start again.
Nope.
You mean the car?
And she and she goes, oh, this is like an intermission. You're going to do like another hour, right? I was like,
didn't plan on that.
What?
Another hour?
I was like, with new people?
I know.
She was like, no, new jokes. I was like, oh, no, I got to go. I can't do that.
So you said no.
Yeah, I had to say no. Like
no, because can you imagine being up there for their hour?
Yeah,
I mean,
like what?
No.
The fuck?
I can imagine, but
yeah. Well, just terrible. Hour of crowd work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly. Anybody got a stuffed animal?
Or a hairless cat?
Holy shit! But see, back how long you'd been doing comedy at that point?
This was 2 years ago.
Okay, so you'd been doing it for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you would have been like, yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. In the beginning, I'd be like, sure, just give me 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing with me with like, hey, you want to come open for this band while we do sound check?
Well,
you know, now,
first,
well, probably not.
Probably,
but back in the day, I'd be like,
yeah, it sounds great. The first 3 years, you think you have this persona that you are Eddie Murphy. You know what I mean? Like, you have this bigger than life persona because that's what it takes to get on stage for the first time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you just thought you were so-so or not funny or whatever, you would never get on stage.
Yeah.
You have to have that, especially in the beginning. You know, this is worth it. I'm funny, whatever. You know, I'm a rock star kind of thing. And so you take these opportunities thinking like, oh, I'm going to knock this out. Of course I can give you 20 minutes, an hour or whatever. Da, da, da.
Like, that'll fly by.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you get into it in a while and you know, you get your ass handed to you a few times and you realize like, oh, yeah, I'm not Eddie Murphy.
Right. Dude, I'm so glad that you said that. That's so important in comedy because like God, you just nailed it right there. The first couple of years, you have to... Dude, if I have the confidence now that I had when I first... At 25...
Be killing the game.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
I mean, I had red jackets with zippers on it. but yeah, you have to have this fucking just rock star ego.
Yeah.
Then you have to fucking get humbled.
Get it crushed.
Then you get
to fail, man.
Yeah, then you kind of... And then you're in the middle.
Yeah.
Right? You have a good... You have a good set. And you're like, oh, that was a good set. You have a horrific set. And you're like, well, that was not a great set. But you're right consistently in the middle. Dude, that's like the key to comedy right there. It's not the highs and the lows, but just be right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right. The
just
Buddhist.
Middling the rest of
your
life.
Just a constant
just
middle.
Middle. That's the key to comedy. Middling.
But that's what I love about you, because like I've fucking toured with you for years and you'll just annihilate and smash, and you'll get off stage and be like, well, that was fun, right? And then I've seen you have, like, there's been, like, rough crowds, be like, oof, well, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
And then that's it, though.
Right, but when you first start, you're like, oh, I'm never going to get on stage again.
It's devastating.
Devastating. Oh, yeah. I had the most humbling experience ever when I was about a year and a half in. I was doing a show. It was, like, an alumni show with Pretty Funny Women, which is Lisa Sunstedt, how I started comedy.
Right.
And so it was her and, like, all of her friends that they all came up together. So the lineup was, like, Lisa and Sean Pawlowski and Trish Sir and a couple other, Retta from Parks and Rec, and then Maria Bamford and Tig Notaro.
Sure.
And so the lineup is made in a very specific way.
So it's an open mic.
Right? What's that? An open mic. Yeah, exactly. So we get up there and Maria comes up to Lisa and is like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I double booked myself. I got to go. I got to go first. And then Tig comes up. I am so sorry. I've double booked. I got to go first. So the lineup wound up being Lisa did her opening, Maria, Tig, me.
Yeah.
Me. Yeah. I had to follow Tig Notaro. And I was on like the student spot. It was here's this newbie that we're going to allow. Oh my God. Oh. I have never bombed so hard in my life. Because I was so nervous. And I thought that, because it's that fake confidence of like, I got this. So I was kind of like walking around the stage and like trying to be an asshole. And I'm like, no, none of my material matches what I'm trying to sell you here. It was so, I didn't get out of bed the next day.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Yeah, sure didn't. That moment when you come out to LA, you forget that like the big dogs are here.
They're
here.
Yeah. They want to go first.
And when they say I need to go first, they go first.
They go first.
Deservedly so. I get it.
Celebrity lives matter.
Yeah.
Celebrity lives matter. Oh, God.
and yeah, you forget, like, oh, I might have to follow fucking Dane Cook or Bamford or whoever the fuck. Like,
and when you're a year and a half
Tuesday
in.
Night.
Yeah. Or even worse, the dudes that you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
When I first moved here, I had that confidence and I like looked at the lineup and I was like, I've never heard of these dudes.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then you're like, I remember the first time I did Laugh Factory. I was like brand new here, and I looked at the lineup, and I was like, Sam Comroe, Tony Baker. Oh yeah, I've never heard it. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, light them.
Yeah. I had to follow Eric Myers on my Laugh Factory showcase.
Oh, he's so funny.
Never heard Eric Myers before.
Right.
No idea who he was. Didn't talk to him beforehand.
Right.
I had no clue. He went on right before me.
Right.
Oh,
just
man.
Murdered
it.
When you can murder in front, because that's a 6:30 p.m. show.
Yeah.
In front of mostly open mic comics and homeless people.
Uh-huh.
And when I tell you this dude murdered, it was like he was taping his 1 hour special. Like everything. I was in the back like, who is it? Like tears laughing at this dude. And they're like, all right, your turn. I'm like, oh
no.
Well, I'm okay. Pass.
No, I'm good.
I gotta go.
Ooh, you know, I got this thing I had to do.
Yeah, you forget like the best of the best is out here.
Oh, they're out here, man.
So you gotta follow celebrities and you gotta follow dudes who are about to be celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, and they want it just as bad, if not more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrifying.
It makes you strong though, man.
Oh yeah.
It makes you have to adapt. I think that you learn, and this is probably very cliche, but I think it's very like you learn when you kill, but like something about bombing. Like you really
That's what you learn from.
You really learn like this feeling sucks and I don't want
to
do this.
Well, you have to figure out what wasn't working. Mm-hmm. That's what you learn from.
And you have to get numb to it too.
Yeah, oh God.
It's it's like once you bomb enough, you get kind of a thick skin where it's not as devastating.
Well, yeah, it's all fear based. It's like anything else you're doing, whether it's skydiving or brain surgery or whatever the fuck. It's terrifying.
Yeah, bombing and brain surgery is probably a little worse. Exactly.
But you know what I mean? Like you're going up in front of people. Some people like they lock up. The idea of public speaking to some people will shut their shit.
It's like the number one of the top three
fears.
Yeah,
it's one of the biggest fears in the country.
Public speaking is.
Yeah, and imagine you had to be funny on top of that. Not only are you speaking in front of people, but now you have to be entertaining.
Yeah, you want people to like you on top
of
it.
Yeah, now it's not 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It's an hour.
Right.
Now they want you to,
now they want you to do a second hour.
Now, yeah.
Right. Oh,
now
my
they
God.
Want 2 hours? Just getting greedy.
I had a lady in Louisville at the show there. I did this joke that pretty much works, I would say, 90% of the time. I did it, and it just did not work there at all, and then silence, and then all of a sudden, girl, you tripping.
No.
And it was so funny the way she said it. I was like, ma'am, I'm going to let you have that.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
I am tripping.
I am, in fact, tripping.
I'm currently tripping. You've got me.
And then we had a threesome.
Exactly. And then we're best of friends.
Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you so much. We're almost out of time. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
We could talk for like another hour, but.
Another hour? That's going to be our catchphrase.
Is there going to be a band behind us?
Yes.
Oh man, I know you guys got shit to do, so I'll let you guys Samantha, how can people find you?
Twitter and Instagram at the Samantha Hale.
And your show is every Monday, or is it?
Every Monday,
it is every Monday,
yeah,
right?
Every Monday, 7 p.m. in West Hollywood at Mickey's Nightclub.
Very fun. Comics, if you guys want to get on it, email Samantha. Mike, you are. Buddy. Thank you so much for filling in this month.
Thanks for coming up.
Had an absolute blast.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We have a lot of listeners like in the Midwest and stuff. I don't know. Do you want to plug your
sure?
Your
yeah, because I'm going into so it starts up November 9th, mm-hmm. and I'm heading to Minneapolis. I'm going to the House of Comedy there that week.
I love that place.
I love the fucking House of Comedy.
I'm so jealous.
So great. And then I'm heading to Vegas for a week after that, and then the Columbus Funny Bone in Ohio for Thanksgiving week.
Nice.
So come see me in those spots, and you can check everything out at MaloneComedy.com.
Malone Comedy, and then for me, all my tour dates: JustinComic.com, Instagram JustinComic. I'm going to be officiating a wedding next week. If you guys want to come out to that, to Adam. And what if I just bring
the listeners? You've already invited everybody to your Halloween.
Oh,
party.
That's right.
Now
yeah,
you're
yeah.
inviting these people to your, this wedding.
To a wedding. I'm so humbled to be doing this. By the way, it's like it shows like where I've. This was a couple that when
the Halloween party.
No, not the Halloween party. I lived on their couch for a while.
Wow.
Yeah,
and you're honoring them by writing this thing 2 days before the wedding.
Thanks, Mike and Allison.
Hashtag stay humble.
I made you bring her dates, but you do bring her weddings. Yes. So. Right. You win, dude.
That's so funny. I was going to say that's why I gave him such a discounted rate. But this is awesome. All right, so we'll see you guys. Ken Gar is going to be our replacement our replacement host for November. So we got him on next week with Becky Robinson is going to be our guest. Check out fosterthepodcast.com. Subscribe to Foster the Podcast on iTunes. Go see Samantha Mondays at Mickey's in West Hollywood. Go see Malone at the House of Comedy and in Vegas. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.